Today, we're taking an academic spin on things, and we will be meeting Laura Mas, a PhD candidate at the Leibniz Science Campus on Digital Public Health, who is working to measure the maturity of digital public health systems worldwide. And with that in mind, let's dive deep into the episode. Hello, Laura. It's so great to see you today. And even better, you know, the fact that I have the opportunity to invite as well some academic colleagues to the Digital Health Voice. And with that in mind, I'd like to go straight to business, Laura. And I want to ask you, what's your digital health journey? Or may I dare say, your digital public health journey? Like, what even brought you to the Digital Health Voice in the podcast in the first place? Like, how come you're here today with us?
Yeah, hi, Stefan. Thank you, first of all, for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here and to present my research to you, although it's a bit different focus than the other guests have, but I hope this still be interesting for the audience. So as you said, I'm doing my PhD in digital public health, and I started in 2020, just before the pandemic hit us. And as you probably know, Germany by then was not that developed in digital anything. And we really had to think on and restructure all our systems. And that really gave us a huge opportunity to develop our infrastructure in the health sector and to enable us also to work on topics related to digital public health, which wasn't common much in Germany before that. And so, yeah, that's what I am doing. I'm trying to measure how systems are advancing and take Germany as a case study for let's go from the bottom where nothing really exists to better countries, let's say.
Yeah, I'm really curious how Germany is developing. Sometimes I look at Germany and I see definitely seeing a passionate group of individuals and teams working together to do a lot of things in Germany. Now, with a big country like Germany, you know, small islands have their challenges, but big countries with massive populations also have their challenges. But that does not mean that they can't embrace digital innovation. And I have to admit that the Leibniz Science Campus really took a big wise decision and invested in digital public health. I haven't seen that in so many universities across Europe and even worldwide. So definitely something there to put Germany in the forefront. But, you know, I've heard a lot about the Leibniz Science Campus in Digital Public Health. We had the opportunity to have you here in Malta. You had like the presentation conference. You met some of my colleagues as well. You were lucky. It was a bit challenging because it was during the pandemic, but nevertheless, we made it happen, which was quite cool. But tell me more about your organization. How did it get started, you know, and how do you work with healthcare organizations, universities, public health professionals and individuals who are, you know, pushing forward and pushing, let's say, you know, breaking the glass ceiling, so to speak, when it comes to digital public health. Tell me, how do you work? How do you make that work?
Sure. We are very lucky that the Leibniz Society and Association gave us funding for that. So they're financing various campuses throughout Germany that are all settled at universities which have an institute which is related to the Leibniz Science Association. And they all have different topics. So one is relating to marine biology, the other one is evaluating IT. And others focus on sociology, but there wasn't one that focused on public health. And so as our University of Bremen is very strong in public health in Germany, we're one of the leading universities here, we were thinking, okay, what can we do that would be interesting on the one hand and also would help Germany and help us to develop further and maybe even to create a new field, which we didn't have at general university. No one really was focusing on digital public health before we had the campus. And so we applied for funding for 4 years, which was accepted. We've just submitted our application for the next 4 years follow-up funding. So fingers crossed. And so, yeah, now the Leibniz campus that we have is funded by the state of Bremen and also by the University of Bremen and the Leibniz Association. And we are collaborating with different institutions. So we have the BIPS, which is the Leibniz Institute for Preventional Research Care. And those are the leading people, but we also have people coming from the ethical department at the University of Bremen. We have people coming from IT departments, from law, biology, sociology, and obviously also from the other public health institutions where I'm situated in. And they're all collaborating together, which was another thing that didn't really exist before that. People tend to research similar or comparable topics, but only within their institute or within their faculty. And now we really have faculty-wide and now even university-wide and internationally wide, thanks to you and your collaboration with us, and the people coming from the Netherlands or from Vienna and Austria. And they are all collecting data, analyzing, evaluating interventions, and we're all working together in this interdisciplinary field. Which is amazing. To be honest, I've never done interdisciplinary research, although public health claims to be quite interdisciplinary. But we always tended to work together with other people from public health. And now we're working together with people from law and economics. And the discussion is so much better. And you get so much more interest, oh, so many more interesting perspectives on everything, and start to question your own methods.
Yeah, we love it. For example, today I was at work and I was taking a certain repetitive action, which it takes time and energy to do. And then someone, who is working in a different agency, working in the technology agency, who has a different set of experience, a different set of toolkit, like a tool to work with, he actually approached me like, listen, we can do this in a better way now, because now you have quite a lot, you're doing this quite a number of times, and we have possibility to optimize this process. And if I didn't answer that call, the year ahead might have been much more expensive for me to maintain. So having a call, discussing with someone who is the expert in their field, and coming to a solution which makes everyone happy. So this is, I think, really and truly what you've just hit there on the nail. How important it is for us, especially public health professionals and digital health and medtech even, how important for them is to work with multiple disciplines. We're not talking just about numbers, about technology, but we're talking about people here. We're talking about convincing people to do specific behavior change, even behavior change in their data collection, behavior change in the way they approach people. Whereas before they might phone someone, now they might think of having a chat or setting up a chatbot to first start off the kick off the conversation and then evolving the conversation into something which is more human. So we're asking people to do like some significant changes here. And with that in mind, I've heard a little bird told me that you have some interesting research to share with us. Is that possible, Laura?
Yeah, sure. So I conducted a Delphi study, which is an expert panel, so to say, which is
Okay,
ground-based.
Delphi study, can be a bit alien for some of our audience. Can you just maybe make it a bit more simple for our audience to understand?
Sure. I have a number of 80 experts coming from all different disciplines and all around the globe. So we have people coming from all countries and all continents. And we ask them questions. And so, as you're all not sitting in the same room, but everybody was sitting in front of their computer, they had a survey which they answered. And then I merged all those results and those ratings that they gave on their opinions, and then presented those results to them again and was like, okay, you said this, but the majority of the people said that. Do you still want to stay at your opinion, or do you maybe want to change your opinion? And so that we can at the end have a consensus procedure where everybody then agrees on important topics. And I did that to collect indicators which you can use to measure the maturity of a digital public health system. So I had experts from the field of law and asked them, what are the legal requirements and what kind of political support is needed so we can have data secured interventions, but not so high security levels that no one's really trusting their intervention to be okay with the data standards. And I asked people from sociology, it's like, hey, how can we measure the willingness of the population to use an intervention? Because you can design the best intervention, the corona tracing apps were just the best example for that in the digital environment. Like, how can we design that? But also, how can we empower the people to use that? And how can we measure if they want to use it or not? I've asked people from public health, how can you actually measure the implementation level of an intervention? Do we have just pilot studies here and there? Or do we have a national system? Like, do we have electronic health records everywhere in the nation? Or is it just at this one specific hospital, which is trying to do it, which was the case in Germany just before the pandemic? And we've been trying to have electronic health records since, I think, 2006.
Yeah, everyone's been trying to have electronic health records for a long time, especially in Europe. And I think this is happening because we don't push on the financial incentive for someone to actually set up an electronic patient record. We're expecting people to kind of, input data into systems without even incentivizing them. There are some interesting incentives, and there is going to be some interesting regulation, as you saw in the European health data space. You most probably have even had a look at it yourself for sure. But I think that we need to look into similar initiatives like we've seen in the US, which is the high tech initiative, for example, where doctors were incentivized to install electronic patient records and high quality electronic patient records, not just, you know, like just a database that they get from somewhere and then they just get started. No, but an actual electronic patient record which can communicate back and forth with other systems. So these are the kind of, I know that possibly, you know, the Americans who might be listening to this podcast, you know, might tell me, what the hell are you saying? Like, we're still not there yet. But I think Europe now has an opportunity ahead of it. And even from the work that you've been doing so far, I think there really is a way forward for us, you know, to think beyond our comfort zone. We need to reinvent our practices, or maybe if not reinvent, enhance our practices and look in different ways of reaching out to people. And inevitably, the question comes to the future, Laura. Believe it or not, we're already coming close. To the end of the podcast. You won't even believe it sometimes, especially when you're having such a lovely conversation. But what does the future look like for digital public health? Now, usually I ask people about digital health and medtech, but in your case, I'm kind of focusing more on digital public health. And how do you see public health evolving into this new era? And do you see that there would be only one digital public health center? Like, or few of them, or do you see this happening in most universities now? Like, what's the future? What's ahead of us?
So for the German case, I can tell you that we have already professorships for digital public health, or electronic public health, as we're still calling it. Not at our university, but I've seen other universities giving that call. And we have digital health centers, at least at some of our universities, I'd say at least 10 centers. And some of them start to also include digital public health now. So this is the German perspective coming from academia. If you look at how digital public health will evolve, I could start with a case study of my relationship to public health. I started studying that in 2011. And when I started that, at least in Germany, when I was saying to all my friends, hey, yeah, I'm studying public health, I was finally accepted. Everybody looked at me like, and what is that? So you work at a hospital? No. So you're studying medicine? No. So sociology? No. And so now if you ask people or tell people, hey, I'm studying public health, then they have an impression of what it is. They start to realize, okay, oh, so you're looking at healthcare systems and try to focus on improving the health of populations. I'm like, yes, you finally know it. Great.
Well done.
And I really hope that we see the same trend in digital public health as well. I wouldn't say it's a complete new field. I would follow the UEFA definition and say it's just the application of public health goals to the digital environment. But of course, the digital environment creates completely new problems, new issues, new people that we need to include to fulfill our goals. And I see that happening slowly. I'm sure that Corona helped us to take that up and to speed things up a lot. I'm not sure if we would have been there if we didn't have the pandemic. I'm quite certain we wouldn't. But I see that things are improving and evolving a lot in Germany and in Europe and all over the globe. And I really hope that we can see that and continue with this trend even after the pandemic, if you can say that there is an after, which I don't believe right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, coronavirus has always been there. So, you know, we're looking at a time where, yes, I hope that the pandemic will close off. You know, we are looking at a time, most probably in winter, the situation might change. But we're looking at a time where, yes, we've learned how to deal with the pandemic. We've learned a lot, for sure. And, you know, we're looking towards a future where we'll have to most probably focus on other kind of diseases as well. Not just, you know, this specific kind of coronavirus. I think we are in a position to say that we're evolving now. Even the World Health Organization and multiple organizations are looking towards the future. And now actually we have to put more resources even into digital public health to sort out our vaccination programs, for example, to sort out our surveillance programs across Europe, across the world, and even not just in the developed countries, but even in the, you know, the ones that have low income, and we need to also ensure that their surveillance of high quality, because this is a global health issue at the end of the day as well. So, you know, pandemics start from somewhere and they have to evolve and they spread. But with that in mind, I have a small surprise for you, Laura. If you had the opportunity to listen to our earlier podcast, we invite guests at the very end of the podcast to do a 1 minute intervention on any topic of their choice. So with that in mind, you have 1 minute starting now to raise awareness on any topic that you want. The floor is yours. I'll be counting.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. If I would need to focus on one specific, then it would probably be to not leave anybody behind. When you are developing an intervention, try to develop an intervention to regulate, to reimburse whoever you are and whatever you're doing in your own specific field, but try to collaborate with people from other disciplines and try to also include the target population for your intervention already in the developing and brainstorming process. It is too late to include them when you are evaluating the intervention at the end. Just include them already in the very beginning, because they are the people that can tell you what they really want and how it should look like, and nobody else can do that for you.
So wow,
that would
it.
Be my leaving... 1 minute pitch.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Laura. You know, like leaving no one behind. That is something that definitely everyone can get behind, and I hope that everyone gets behind that we need leave literally no one behind. And with that in mind, we come to the end of this podcast. I'd like to invite our guests, our audience, to follow us on our social channels. We are available there on MedTechWorld. We have 4 different, you can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter. But also, if you want to find us on any podcast player of your choice, just write The Digital Health Voice and there you go. You'll find us everywhere. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. And with that in mind, danke schön, Laura, and hope to see you soon. Cheers.